With me in the New Testament to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 17. So we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. Acts chapter number 17, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I hope you'll keep your Bibles open tonight. The Bible says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. These all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, There is another king, one Jesus. And they were troubled, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go." I want you to know what the Bible says in verse number 6, that these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And I want to preach on turning our world upside down. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love and for thy mercy and grace. Lord, I know my inabilities tonight, and I recognize my need of Thee. And Lord, I realize it's all vain if the power of the Spirit of God doesn't rest upon this message. So, Lord, I ask, Lord, that You'd hide me behind the cross, empower me and enable me to preach the truth of Thy Word, and I pray that it'll change our lives. Strengthen us, encourage us, give us boldness to do thy blessed will. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find quite a story here in the Bible. We find Paul and this company of men, if you will, preaching the gospel, making a difference in people's lives, going from place to place. And we see that they've been accused by these devout Jews of turning the world upside down. In other words, their influence and their impact in the places where they were so strong and so real. They were living so much for the Lord that people's lives were being changed when they came in contact with Paul and with Silas and with Timothy and all these people. I want you to understand tonight that the same power that they had while they had apostolic authority, the same power is the same power that God makes available to us. The reason that they were able to do the things that they did in reaching other people was because Christ was in their lives and a part of their lives. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you can reach people with the gospel. You can make a difference in people's lives. You can show people that there is hope in a hopeless world and there is help in a helpless world. And it's all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why were they able to make such a difference? Why were they able to turn the world upside down? Why were they able to accomplish the things that they accomplished? Why were so many churches started? And why were so many people saved? And why were so many miracles done? I'll tell you why. Because they had the Spirit of Christ in them. And He was making a difference. I'm going to give you three thoughts tonight. And you've heard these thoughts before. You've heard all of this before. Repetition is the mother of all learning. I realize that. But tonight, I was thinking about all that's going on around us. And I was thinking about our church and all that needs to be accomplished. And realizing that the summer comes and there's summer slumps. And you know, sometimes you get discouraged and sometimes you get defeated. But I want you to understand that we can turn our world upside down. We can reach people with the gospel. We can accomplish God's will with our lives, even in the year 2008. Just imagine, all these years later, God has something for us to do. And it's just as important as what God had for Paul to do these many years before. The reason they were able to turn the world upside down is, number one, they had a burden. They had a burden. We need to be a burden to people. Now, I realize we're to cast all of our burdens, cast all of our care to the Lord, but this is a kind of burden that the Lord wants us to have, a burden for souls, a burden for people, a burden for the work of the Lord. They had this burden, and they got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back into the gospel according to Luke, chapter number 4, and I'd like for you to look there at one verse, and then we're going to go back into the book of Acts and find a way up to the place where we are in the scriptures. But in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, and he, talking about the Lord Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So the Bible is teaching us here that the Lord Jesus comes into Nazareth, and he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he's there to preach the truth, to preach the Word of God. Now we go over into the book of Acts, and we find that Paul has been so influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. And these early believers have been influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter number 9, we know the story of the conversion of Saul, how that he met the Lord on the Damascus Road, and he was blinded in the way, God had to blind him so that he could see. Amen. And as he was blinded, he came to know the Lord. He was on his way to persecute some believers. But I'm convinced that Paul never got out of his mind Stephen, when he was holding those coats and Stephen was being stoned. And Stephen said, as he looked up, I see the Lord. I see Jesus. I see him standing at the right hand of the Father. He remembered that day. And I imagine as Paul was on this road to Damascus, things like that were in his mind, probably wandering and pondering on many things. And here on this road to Damascus, he meets the Lord. And he puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that believe you have to be baptized before you're saved, there's proof in this very, to be baptized in order to be saved, there's proof in this very chapter that that's not the case, because the Bible says in verse number 17, they called him Brother Saul. And then in verse number 18 is when he was baptized, so he was saved before he was baptized. Amen? And baptism is always after salvation. That's not part of the message, but I just thought I'd throw it in there for good measure tonight. But I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 20. Paul's saved. He's had this eye-opening experience, if you will. And he's been in the house of Ananias, and now we see that he's followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and immediately and straightway, the Bible says in verse number 20, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that is the Son of God. He knew that that's what needed to be done, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And this was a practice that would continue. Everywhere they would go to the synagogue. They would go there on the Sabbath, and they would open the Word, and because of where Paul was from, and because of him being raised at the feet of Gamaliel, and him being a Pharisee, they were willing to give him a listening audience, if you will. And dear friends, when he stood up and he preached Jesus. Everywhere he went, it was about who the Lord Jesus is. It wasn't about him, it wasn't about his ministry, it was about who Christ is. The Bible goes on and it says in the book of Acts, chapter number 13, if you'll turn with me, and verse number 5, I want you to notice tonight, we're getting to it all in just a moment. We'll get into the heart of the message. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 13, verse number 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Verse number 14 of this same chapter, notice what the Bible says. But when they had departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day and sat down. The Bible goes on and says in chapter number 14, if you'll look there with me in verse number 1, and it came to pass that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. The Bible says in chapter number 16 and verse number 6,
We find that now they've been preaching in all these different places. They've been going to all these different synagogues. And now they have this desire. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 6, when they had gone through Phrygia and throughout the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. We find that they've been going to all these places where there were synagogues. And they've been going in on the Sabbath day, and they've been reasoning with them out of the Scriptures what thus saith the Lord. Because they had a burden to reach people with the gospel of Christ, Jew and Gentile. We understand that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but here we find a turning, if you will. We find the gospel headed to America. Because there's a Macedonian call. You know the song we sing? We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. See, here's where that song originated. Now, I don't imagine Paul wrote it. Matter of fact, you can probably look and you can find out who did write it. But they got it from this story. The Bible says in verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now they no doubt wanted to go to Asia to preach. They were there. But God said, I want you to go to Europe. And he had this Macedonian vision. And he wanted to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And the Bible says in verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, and gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. So we understand that this wasn't an easy way, and we understand that they went straightway. In other words, when God said, I want you to go, they went. Because they had a burden to do what God wanted them to do with their lives. But they found that they could serve the Lord where they were, but then when God called them, they went, didn't they? And they made their way, the Bible teaches us, on a straight course, and they go to Neapolis, and the Bible says in verse number 12, from there they went to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath, there it is, but they didn't go to the synagogue this day. They had always been going to the synagogue, but you got to remember, in order for there to be a synagogue, there had to be 10 men. There could be no synagogue unless there were 10 men that was there in that area that was of that persuasion. And there weren't 10 men. But they found a band of women. Isn't that hard to imagine that God can use women to get the work done? I'm telling you tonight, God uses women in the ministry just as much as He uses men. And we find that they go to the women. And the Bible says on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and we spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken to Paul. And she was baptized and her household. She besought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So we see what's going on here. They go, and God's called them to Europe. And guess who the first person to get saved is? A woman named Lydia. But here's where the gospel starts in Europe. Now, this isn't part of the message tonight, but I want you to realize that the gospel came to us from Europe. I'm thankful to the good Lord that He sent Paul this way. I'm thankful that this woman was saved, and I'm thankful for this place at Philippi and this church at Philippi where this church was started, and then other churches were started all around in these areas, and from there, Europe, throughout Europe, the gospel was spread, and then finally, from Europe to America, just a few hundred years ago, preachers and men and women and boys and girls came with a burden. with a burden to do God's will with their lives. How could they turn the world upside down? Because they had a burden. The Bible goes on and says, in verse number 16, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You say, well, this woman, this spirit, wicked woman is saying the right thing. She is, but God said He would never use an evil spirit to carry out His will. He uses the Holy Spirit. He always condemned those evil spirits. And I don't think the Lord has to use demons. Do you? And so we understand. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw the hope that their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They turn the world upside down. They trouble the city. And it's all because they're doing what God wants them to do. I'd like to make some trouble too, wouldn't you? I'd like to turn some people's lives upside down. But for the right reason. In the right way. Dear friends, we're here for a purpose. And we need to have this kind of a burden. Now we know what happens here. We know the story of Paul and Silas going to jail, right? We understand that they're put in prison. And when they're in prison, what is it that they do? They moan and groan and bellyache? They fuss and fight and fume? No, they start singing and praying. And you know, I wonder what the songs... I imagine we could probably go to the Psalms and find a song that would be appropriate. And they were probably singing the Psalms. Now, I can't say that that's accurate. But I can imagine that they were well-versed in some of those things. God is my refuge. Maybe they were singing. They were singing, the Lord is my refuge, a stronghold in the time of trouble. Maybe they were saying something like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then we got down that part, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in the work of God. Paul and Silas had something in them. They had a burden to do the will of God. And they had a burden for people's lives to be changed. And the reason they were busy turning the world upside down was because they had such a burden to help people to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. They didn't care if it cost them their lives, they were going to do it. And dear friends, we know the story how that God delivered them that night from that jail cell, from that inner prison, if you will, from that prison inside of a prison, if you can imagine that. They were so afraid of these people, and they were so afraid of what might happen. They were so afraid of people getting right and getting saved that they said, we're going to put them inside a jail cell that's inside a jail cell, inside the inner prison. And of course, we know the story, and I know I preached on this not too long ago, how that they were praying and singing praises at midnight, and how that when the earthquake came and it shook and it rattled and it rolled and the jail fell down to the ground and they were able to escape, and the jailer said, uh-oh, they're going to take my life tomorrow, so I'm going to take my life tonight. And he takes his dagger out ready to take his life. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. It's not just Paul and Silas. That's everybody. When you have a burden to do the work of the Lord, other people around you notice there's something different. And they were all there. And that jailer didn't say a whole lot of things, didn't ask a whole lot of questions. He just looked and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And of course, you know the story how that they were released. They wouldn't go silently. Paul said, you don't understand. I'm a Roman citizen too. And you put me in jail. And they didn't put Roman citizens in jail, but they put him in jail because they didn't ask any questions about where he was from. You see. So the Bible teaches us he refused to depart privately. Verse number 35, when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Paul said, they've beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now they do thrust us out privately? Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. They want us to go. Let them come. And they can tell us to go. But now, the Bible goes on, says, and the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they went out of the prison, they entered to the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. You know what was happening here? This was their custom. The custom was, when this was to happen, those leaders of the city had to come and apologize to Paul and them in front of everybody. And it gave Paul and them another platform to give the gospel. And the Bible goes on. It says, when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, this is our text now, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. Guess what? There they were again. They just couldn't help themselves, could they? Just gotten out of jail. Philippi, of course, there was no synagogue there, but people were being saved. It says, Paul's his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with them, and reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Can you imagine? They had just been imprisoned for doing the work of the Lord. And now here they go to another city, an even bigger city, a very well-known city, a very important city. Thessalonica was one of the happening places. And they go in and they begin to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they weren't received just wonderfully there from the Jews. And we find out that the Bible says that some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. In other words, here's Jason. I want you to know those people that are making a mess everywhere they go have been here. They had a burden. The reason that this was said about them, that they turned the world upside down, was because they had a burden. Jason took them in. And the Bible says these all do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and others, and of the other, they let them go. I want you to think about this. When we take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not always going to be an easy thing to do, is it? And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, I think we're finding out it's more and more difficult. To do the right thing in such an evil world, the only way we're going to get the job done is we have to have a burden to do the Lord's work with our life. We look around and we see the city of Tampa and we begin to realize this city is a wicked city. There's more people on their way to a terrible place called hell probably than there is on their way to a wonderful place called heaven. And sometimes we look and we see all the ungodliness and all the wickedness. We see all the places of ill repute, and we see all the bars and all the clubs, and we see all the things that we see on the street corners, and we look and we just begin to shake our head and we begin to say how terrible and how wicked and how ungodly. But I want to tell you something. The only people that's going to change this city are people with a burden to do the will of God with their lives. We may not be the most intelligent, or we may not have the highest degree, but dear friends, we have what it takes if we have Jesus. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We can turn our world upside down. We can make a difference in somebody's life. We can help people to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They had a burden. Number two, they had a belief. The Bible says there in verse number 7 after Jason received him, said, they do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. By the way, that's not true, but they did say that there is another king, one Jesus. They not only had a burden, they had a belief, and their belief was that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the true king. And dear friends, tonight, that's where we rest our hope, isn't it? In the fact that Christ is king. We've looked at the upcoming election, and we scratch our head, and we think, who in the world are you going to vote for in an election like this? Who in the world are we, and obviously the choices aren't great. But regardless of who ends up in the White House, I want you to know that up in glory there's one seated on the throne. And He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. And dear friends, they realized they only had one person they had to bow to, and that was none other than King Jesus. They had a belief. And this belief, I believe, number one, they were convinced that He was who He said He was. Of course, Paul had an eye-opening experience, no doubt, with Him. Had this confrontation. But they were convinced that He was the promised Messiah. That He was the King who would one day come back to earth. He was the King who would one day come in the clouds and then 7 years later come back to the earth. Well, that's not happened yet, but they had their belief in this. Tonight I want to ask you this question. Who do you believe He is? So many of us, so many Christians, lose sight of who Jesus is. We go through things and we think, boy, this is the most terrible thing and I'm just not going to make it through. You will if you'll look unto Jesus. There's not one trouble that we go through in life that if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord, He won't carry us through the valley. I could go around this room tonight and do interviews with each one of you and say, have you ever been in a valley? And there's not one of us that could say no. We'd all say yes. I've been in some of the deepest, darkest valleys I could ever imagine. If you understand this tonight, it's a blessed thing. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've not walked one step alone. You've not shed one tear alone. You've not had one broken heart alone. You've not went through one troubling time alone. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They had this belief. That's how they could sing while they were in jail. That's how they could pray when they were in bonds. That's how they could rejoice when they'd been taken captive for doing the Lord's will, because they had a belief that there was one King, that there was a King, one Jesus. Not only were they convinced of this, they had, number two, they had convictions. Convictions. You know what we need tonight? We need convictions. Well, where do we get convictions from? We get convictions from the Bible. I'm not here to tell you this ought to be your conviction or ought not be your conviction. The Bible tells you that. I'm not your Holy Spirit, I'm your pastor. But I'm going to preach to you what the Bible says. And these men had some convictions. And dear friends, if we're ever going to accomplish anything for God, we're going to have some convictions. But I want you to know, number three, they had compassion. And if you have convictions without compassion, all you do is make people mad. But if you have compassion without convictions, all you are is a weak and anemic person. You've got to have convictions with compassion. A dear friend says this. He says that our compassion and our convictions can only be as high as our compassion is deep. And that's the truth, isn't it? Because if you have high convictions but no compassion, then I'm going to tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be hard to get along with. But if all you have is deep compassion but absolutely no convictions, then you're going to be somebody that's not easy to be around either. It's got to be both. And that's what these fellows had. They had compassion, there's no doubt. And you know, by the way, there's the same number of letters in the word compassion as there is in the word conviction. And so it just equals itself out. I wrote in my Bible, I put a C, and I wrote conviction high and compassion low, all from the same C, just to help me remember that if I'm going to be effective in the work of the Lord, that I have to have conviction, but I have to have compassion. If I'm going to accomplish anything for God, I have to love people. I'm going to tell you something, it's the same way. It's not a preacher, that's a Christian. Christian has to have conviction, but they have to have compassion. And dear friends, the reason that these people made such a difference, the reason that these turned the world upside down, they had a belief, and that belief was they were convinced of some things, and they had convictions, and they had compassion, and then they also had confidence. Now, where was Paul at when he was thrown into jail? Philippi, right? Well, he writes a letter back to the Philippians, and he says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. These people knew who Paul was. He had already been in their jail. I always wondered, you know, what happened to the jailer after Paul left. I can only imagine that as he was writing this letter to this church at Philippi, that this jailer was so excited about seeing the handwriting of Paul. And he was saying, I want you to remember, jailer. I know it's not an easy city to live in. I know difficult things have come. But I'm confident of this thing. He that started this work in you, he'll finish it. They had this belief. And it was so deep rooted in their lives that it helped them to turn the world upside down. But then I want you to see finally tonight, not only did they have a burden, they have a belief, they made it their business. We can't just sit idly by and wait for it to come. We have to make it our business. It's work. And it's not easy. But if it's going to get done, we've got to make it our business to get it done. To do God's will with our life. The Bible said there in verse number 2, as his manner was, he went in unto them 3 Sabbath day, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. When it says they consorted with Paul and Silas, that was the birth of a church. Isn't that amazing? They go into the synagogue and the church starts. It's wonderful. See, they made it their business. And they went to a place that certainly was not an easy place to go and preach. But God had called Paul to give Paul a platform because God knew that Paul had the boldness. God knew that Paul would have a burden. God knew that Paul would have a belief. And God knew that Paul would make it his business. Boy, they went into this place and they preached about Jesus. Into the synagogue, a Jewish synagogue, and we're preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I have to ask, are we so busy with the business of this world that we forget God's business? Oh, I know we have to live. But the greatest thing we can do is give our lives to God's will. To perform with our life what God wants us to perform. God gives us influence for a purpose. And are we going to use that influence to bring others to Christ? I know I've told you this illustration before, but D.L. Moody was walking down the street one day and another fellow was walking down the street. Moody walked up to this fellow and he asked him, he asked a question something like this. Young man, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And the young man raised up and bowed his back and said, that's none of your business. And he walked away. The young man later was walking another place and he ran into a friend and he began to talk to his friend and said, you're not going to believe, there's a man came to me and asked me that if I were to die today, would I go to heaven? And the friend said, what'd you say? He said, I looked at him and said, that's none of your business. And he said, do you mind if I ask you what this man looked like? And he described him. He said, oh, that's Moody. And it is his business. And he was known because he made it his business. And tonight, we're going to have to get bold with this. We're going to have to ask people, it's our business. It wasn't easy for Paul to go into the synagogue, but he made it his business. And everywhere we go, we have to make it our business if we're going to turn the world upside down. If we're going to turn our city upside down. If we're going to turn our neighborhood upside down. The neighborhood where you live. The place where you work. The place where you shop. The place where you go and play and have fun. The place where you go to school. We've got to make it our business. I think the problem in America is we quit making it our business. We've just left it up to, well, if it happens, it happens. We're not Calvinists, you know. The Bible says we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And when the end of our days come, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to return, wouldn't it be good to have the testimony as East Lyle Avenue Baptist Church that we were turning our world upside down because we had a burden, because we had a belief, and because we made it our business? Do you realize what a difference we could make if we would truly make it our business? Can I confess to you tonight? I get so busy with life sometimes. I go places and I never mention the name of Jesus. I never hand out a gospel tract. And I fail to make it my business. I'm going to ask God tonight to help me to do better. Oh, I hand out tracts and I witness to people. But how many times have I said I'm too busy to make it my business? But if I as a believer don't make it my business, who's going to win them? Who's going to reach the world with the gospel? We're just a small drop in the bucket. We're a handful. A small handful in the city of Tampa, right here. If I were to take a big sheet of paper and I were to put a little dot from the tip of an ink pen on it, and the big sheet of paper were to be the world, and I would show you that one little dot, you wouldn't be able to see it from here. I'd say, that's what we are in this world. But I want to tell you something. That's what that New Testament church was in the beginning. Just a dot. And they begin to go out. And they begin to turn the world upside down. How did they do it? Through their own power? I don't think so. Through the power of God? Same God? Same power? Reckon it could happen again? Oh, preacher, it's the last days. Never happened again. Well, He's not returned yet. And it could be the last days. That's up to Him. But it's up to us to do our best for the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. And we know You love us. Lord, You saved us. If there's one here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior and heaven is their home, I pray that they've been helped through this message to see how much You love them and what people's done in their lives to be sure that others have the gospel. I pray tonight they'll trust Thee. For those of us that are saved, I pray tonight that we would see a commitment made in our lives. Lord, that we'd have the burden, this belief, and we would make it our business. Help us to be sincere. Help us to be honest. And give us the boldness we need to get the job done. And we'll thank You and praise You. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's quietly stand to our feet tonight. Brother Chris is going to sing a hymn of invitation.